Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
Quick disclosure, this podcast is for informational purposes only. Nothing I say constitutes direct investment advice or recommendation to buy or sell any securities. It represents my personal views at the time of the recording, and markets may perform differently than I expect. All investment involves risk, including loss of principal. With that said, let's get into it. This week's podcast is called The Consumer is Breaking, but Stocks Do Not Care, for now. Let us begin with a number that the financial media has chosen with characteristic cowardice to bury beneath triumphant headlines about resilient labor market: 55,000. That is the average monthly job growth in the United States over the past 6 months. 55,000 jobs per month for an economy of 330 million people. And of those 55,000 jobs, 54,000 were in healthcare. I want you to hear that again. 54,000 were in healthcare of the 55,000 jobs. Of every job created in America over the past half year, 98 of every 100 were in a single sector. One that is structurally and inextricably dependent on government spending. Strip away the federal lifeline flowing through Medicare, Medicaid, and the ACA, and the American labor market is essentially flatlined. This is not a strong jobs market. This is a government-subsidized jobs market wearing the costume of strength for the benefit of an absolutely incurious media and an oblivious Federal Reserve. The private productive economy, the one that, you know, has America building and manufacturing and transportating and creating genuine wealth, is generating effectively zero net employment, zero. And yet Jerome Powell, the most dangerous maniac money printer to ever occupy the Eccles building, sits serenely atop his throne congratulating himself on maximum unemployment. Maximum employment should be unemployment. Powell's printing press runs 24/7. Let's examine the conduct more closely of a man most directly responsible for the economic catastrophe unfolding before our eyes. Jerome Powell printed $10 billion last week alone. That is quantitative easing at the pace of $40 billion per month. He has conjured up $175 billion from thin air since December of last year. Not from savings, not from production, from nothing. From a computer keystroke and the blind faith of a world that has not yet fully reckoned with the consequences of his madness. Let the record reflect this. It's not stimulus. This is not monetary policy. This is the systemic destruction of the purchasing power of every American who holds dollars, saves dollars, or earns a wage denominated in dollars. Powell's money printer is the engine of a stealth tax on the middle class, one that never requires a vote, never requires a debate, and is never called what it truly is. Legalized theft. But the inflation catastrophe no one in Washington will name. The Consumer Price Index, the government's own conveniently massaged measure of inflation, rose 3.8% year over year in April, with the core rate climbing 2.8%. Core. Inflation has now exceeded the Federal Reserve's 2% target for more than five consecutive years. 5 years. At what point does the 2% target cease to be a goal and become a punchline? I would argue that moment arrived several years ago. But the CPI figure, manipulated and sanitized as it is, does not begin to capture the true devastation. Consider this. The overall CPI shows prices up 30% since the beginning of 2020. 30%. Has your salary risen by a third since the COVID pandemic erupted? Have your wages kept pace with the relentless erosion of your purchasing power? For the overwhelming majority of working Americans, the answer is an emphatic no. And in communities near data centers, the destruction is even more acute. Electricity costs have surged as much as 267% over 5 years per Bloomberg analysis. Thank you, AI. That's not inflation. That's annihilation. And now the producer price index is sounding even more terrifying. Alarm. PPI surged 1.4% month over month and 6% year over year. So let me say it again. The producer price index surged 1.4% month over month, not year over year, and it's up 6% year over year. Do not accept the dismissive explanation that this was merely energy prices inflated by the war in Iran. The core PPI, stripping out food and energy entirely, rose 5.2%. That scorching producer inflation isn't working its way through every supply chain in this country. Not yet, but it will be. And when it lands, and it always does, it will land directly on American consumers' heads, who are already on their knees. The American consumer is not merely stretched, they're drowning. Total household debt has reached $18.78 trillion. Let that figure register. Auto loan delinquencies have hit record highs. Credit card delinquencies have hit record highs. These are not lagging indicators of manageable stress. These are flashing red signals of a consumer sector in outright distress, one in which surging debt levels and rising interest rates have combined into an inescapable vice grip. Americans are not falling behind on their obligations because they are irresponsible in isolation. They are falling behind because the Federal Reserve's interest rate repression has made debt cheap for a decade and a half, luring households into a trap that is now snapping shut. The bad news does not end with consumers. Total business debt has more than doubled since 2007, rising to over $22 trillion, equivalent to 70% of GDP. That is the identical ratio that existed at the outset of the global financial crisis. Our debt-disabled and inflation-ravaged economy has been kept artificially alive by the Fed's rate repression regime, but that regime is failing. Despite every tool in Powell's arsenal aimed at suppressing interest rates, the bond market is refusing to cooperate. Rates are rising because the market, unlike our central bank, cannot ignore reality indefinitely. The producer price index is not wrong. The bond market is not wrong. Only Washington and the Fed are still pretending. So what comes next? The picture I have painted is not pessimistic conjecture. It is documented, data-driven reality. A recession is not a tail risk. It is the destination toward which every one of those data points is pointing. An economy cannot sustain record household debt, record delinquencies, collapsing real wages, a labor market propped up entirely by government-dependent healthcare jobs, and an accelerating producer price spiral without eventually confronting the reckoning it is so desperately tried to avoid. The bill for 5 years of monetary malpractice is coming due. At Penta Portfolio Strategies, our proprietary model measures precisely these intersections of inflation and growth. We are positioned accordingly, holding assets that perform in an inflationary, debt-distressed environment while maintaining the flexibility to capitalize on the dislocation that is coming. We are fully prepared to navigate around this coming economic storm, while unfortunately, most of Wall Street is aboard a rudderless ship with a blind captain.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.